Welcome to Voice Blind, a short series of Q&A with artists and researchers in Amsterdam. This project is initiated by Arias, giving a platform to critical voices to unpack artistic and scientific processes for connecting research and methodologies. This is an invitation to listen on some of the most pressing issues in practice-based research. Like a cloud sailing in the sky, like layers of practices and knowledge that overlap and move away, VoiceBlind invites you to enter the world of artistic research. Today, we're introducing Asa Howitz and his research Ghost as a part of his master project at Amsterdam University of the Arts. Originally trained as a composer and a musician, Asa creates sound and performances and invents spaces in which the audience find themselves confronted by paradox. Lately, Asa has been diving into the way technology and artificial intelligence can introduce us to what is other than humans, to alternative ways of hearing and experiencing. In this coming episode, he guides us through some of his projects, while inviting us to wonder what artistic strategies can help us move beyond what we already apprehend, and therefore allow the arrival of the unknown.
Hi, my name is Asa Howitz, and I'm a composer and a musician and a performance maker, and I'm currently a participant in DOS Arts, which is a performing arts school and research laboratory in the north of Amsterdam. My project is called Ghost, and it is an attempt to use live performance, a staged concert, really, to open machine learning structures and play around with them from the inside. In this case, it's a natural language processing neural net that I designed along with Serafina Tarrant, who's a research scientist at the University of Edinburgh, and Alejandro Calcagno, who works at AI Now in New York. So the structure of the machine learning system gets open during this concert and becomes a site of reflection for questions around the archive, choosing histories, what is preserved, what is discarded. And sort of following this line, using the structure as a central metaphor, the project has also become about death. And one of the main tools that we use, is music and sound. Specifically, singing that is influenced by medieval polyphonic music, as well as modular synthesizers and sort of contemporary improvised music. And I should say that the wonderful musicians that I get to work with on this project are Carmen Rothwell, Jackson Randall, Brian West, and also the composer and pianist Wayne Howitz. Ghost happened because I saw Serafina Tarrant post some text on Facebook. And I didn't know it at the time, but this was text that a neural net that she had designed for the U.S. Department of Defense had generated. And she was intentionally breaking the neural net, and it was producing some very strange poetic texts. This was at a time when natural language processing was much less ubiquitous than it is now. And the text really caught my attention, this sort of quality that we all recognize now. So I called her, and we started working on training a new version of her system to take this vibe a bit further. I've actually known Serafina since high school. We grew up in the same Rinzai Zen Center together in Northern California. And we both recognized a quality in this text that was a little bit like a koan. A more open-ended koan, because a koan is, of course, designed to transmit a specific insight about reality. And I wouldn't say, of course, that the AI system text does this. At the same time, the language it produces throws the imagination into crisis and undermines easy interpretation, which is exciting. I asked Alejandro Calcagno, who works at AI Now, to get involved. We spent some time with him in New York, and at the Prada Foundation in Milan, and we did a lot of thinking about the ethics and social function of AI and how we might sort of intervene into this emerging field. I made a couple of concerts setting the text we were generating to music, and I started thinking about various structural models with Edit Kaldor, who's one of the very cool and smart people who are around at DOS. So this sort of multidisciplinary team just grew very organically because we wanted to open this thing up, this machine learning system, from the inside. And because machine learning systems are built out of many different elements of cultural production, it was just necessary to get different people with different kinds of expertise involved. The way I think about composition and directing and making live performances, it's really that like I get obsessed with a theme. It grabs me. It won't let me go. And then I try to find the artistic or formal processes that can open this question, this thing that's haunting me. And this can lead to many different things. In the past, it might have meant 50 singers and a dear collaborator friend, Gedney Barclay, or it might have meant three actors, or it might have meant four musicians or a filmmaker. And live performance, I think, is a really beautiful format because I get to work with people who are much smarter than I am and have all this amazing knowledge about, let's say, the particular media that they work with, which is a huge pleasure. In the process of generating a work and also in the work itself, I try and create conditions that can produce the arrival of the unknown. Of course, this is not easy. In each project, or sometimes in every day, it seems to require very different things. I try to just be a super practical worker. I have a lot of conversations with my collaborators, but I really insist on trying every idea we come up with, no matter how stupid it seems. I believe that the material, whether it's a machine learning system or music or the work of an actor, always holds the answers. The idea, the concept, is just the beginning. You know, Waleed Raad says this beautiful thing that his work falls into two categories. One is set pieces, and the other is gifts. Set pieces are like an idea that's realized materially, one-to-one. They would be just as effective on paper. Gifts are mysterious because they come from the material itself. He calls them gifts because people steal them from him. And he says he's fine with this because he knows they belong to no one. And I spent a lot of years working closely with dreams and inner images. And one important thing to me in this work was that we always return to the dream. This material, this thing that I did not produce, that I cannot control, and that I have to confront. And the dream will always work on you in a way that you can't predict. It will like move something in your body, in your mind, in your sort of embodied state. And the images themselves will just do this. And then something that you didn't know before, like a new state, a new feeling, a new idea, will arrive. I think this is like an interesting parallel to the kind of facilitation of the unknown that I think art can do. And I want art to be an experience, like sometimes an overwhelming experience, maybe a very gentle experience, but that concretely changes my perception of reality. Not in terms of like an argument or swinging someone around to how I see the world or agreeing with someone, but about setting up conditions that produce this like unknown emerging perception shift. And I think that always takes a process of material discovery. I think it will always come from matter. In Ghost, I'm like the leader of this strange community of people, of artists and researchers who are working on this topic. And in the beginning, I had to share the intensity of my obsession. I had to infect everyone and make sure that they got the virus and will start their own processes on the subject. I guess virus metaphors are not great right now, but so once people get infected and they get interested and they get involved, then I try to create conditions for everyone to do what they do best. So I open questions, I encourage lines of inquiry, and I try really not to tell the people what the results should look like, because they'll get to something more interesting on their own. And in some cases, like with Serafina and Alejandro, we had to spend a lot of time developing a common language, because we each have expertise in really different fields. So we tried to watch things together and read things and tried to write text together and develop a way to work. Then I became the bridge from the ideas that we were working on to the musicians and the world of performing arts. I feel incredibly lucky because everyone I work with, the musicians, the researchers, everyone, is an independent artist and thinker. So after some time, everyone was just talking to each other and the process was rolling along. And I got to sit back and sort of watch what's happening and guide it here and there, which is ideal, fantastic. This year, Arias is dealing with materiality and transparency in the digital humanities. And I think these keywords is probably why I'm involved, because these are really crucial topics for me. And what I can say is that at some point, after a year or so in Ghost, we made these concerts, we generated some ideas, blah, blah, blah. We kind of realized that AI and art projects were becoming totally ubiquitous, and that just using AI as a tool to generate material was not interesting enough for us anymore. And of course, you know, from the beginning, we knew that when a new technology comes out, people tend to just get obsessed with it and focus on its products. And there's a lot of work that just features its products, like video in the 1990s. But still, we couldn't really get out of this place that we were in. And at the same time, we were really interested in the work of artists like Trevor Paglen, who Alejandro worked with on Training Humans. And what these artists do very well is they expose the deployment of existing AI systems, for example, a data set for facial recognition. But we didn't want to work with an existing system. And we were also working broadly with the idea of AI and death. And I kept feeling at the same time like this is all arbitrary. We're just using AI as a tool to get what we want without paying attention to it. But I also had a strong intuition that death was an important subject for the project, that it was coming from the material itself, that it wasn't just like an arbitrary interest. And I was like sitting in my room during the lockdown and making a lot of weird diagrams of the project and feeling completely stuck. And then one day, one of these diagrams made it clear that the machine learning system itself was a much more interesting image, like a metaphor, a structure, than any of the beautiful language that it generated. And you know, a machine learning system is made up of training data, like a bunch of text, that is processed through an algorithm that is trained on this text. And you give this algorithm prompts, and it generates what it thinks will come next through a kind of semi-transparent process, which you can't trace exactly. And then this new language pops out on the other side. And it was suddenly clear from this weird diagram I was making that the process of amassing the data and putting it through the system and generating new outcomes was itself a very strong structure for a performance, not to mention a metaphor or image that brings to mind death, history, how we deal with the ever-presence of the past in the present. And it also recalls, of course, Jewish knowledge systems like the Talmud, or Benjamin's collections, or Warburg's Atlas, or many other things, but it really is actually a new system, and that's fascinating. We all know that, but it was just really sitting in plain sight. And on the level of politics of spectatorship, this is also important to me, because in a live performance, the audience can get inside the system, can understand the structure of machine learning, which is not only this powerful metaphor for these themes that we're exploring, but the performance can then also be a place to demystify this technology. And this is important because AI systems are everywhere now, but most people still think of the singularity or the Terminator when they think of AI. So there's a making visible happening and a making transparent of the materiality in the machine learning system that is absolutely central to what is happening. And at the same time, this sort of making transparent, making visible, increases the mystery around questions of death, presence and absence, the archive, and the way humans remix materials from the past to create new futures, which are all like super pressing questions right now and probably always. So that discovery was really exciting. And listening to the structure and not putting what I already knew there. And the reason that it took so long to get to this point during the process was that I kept reaching for things I already knew, like existing theatrical or performance structures, certain qualities of language, certain musical sounds that I already had in this bag of like things I like and know as an artist. You know, in Tristan Zara's Instructions for a Dadaist Poem, he says basically, take a bunch of words and assemble them randomly out of a hat. And then he says at the very end of these instructions, this poem will resemble you. And there's a kind of profound question here as to whether he's saying that in a sort of early 20th century way, that despite the seeming randomness, your unconscious will pick things that reflect your preferences, which of course is a defensible position. I mean, look how everyone's, you know, projects with AI, of course, resemble their preferences, mine also. And the other possibility, which interests me a lot, is that he's saying that you can always identify a pattern in a seemingly random system. This brings up questions around aleatoric practices that a lot of people a lot smarter than me have written about. But the crucial thing to me is that in order to get out of the trap of just projecting all my fantasies onto AI, I had to like deal with the structure of machine learning systems itself and put this in the center. This is because machine learning systems are not separate from their training data. There's no blank system. There's only what you feed it. And there's the algorithm, but they're made up by a vast percentage of human labor, of the data, feeding the data. Paglen and Crawford make this super clear in Anatomy of an AI, as have many others. So the thing to do then was to try to make an artistic structure that could reflect on this and play with it, that could hold a reflection up to this system that is itself a reflection of a fantasy, so that it could be like two mirrors facing each other. Then something interesting started to emerge, something that felt like a new image. Maybe it can lead to a new performative form that matches this new structure that we call an AI system. So right now things are super open, and we'll kind of see where we take that. We're starting rehearsals and explorations to see what kind of larger performative structure this is all going to become. I think we're super lucky that we don't have a premiere until March 2022. So in a way, the pandemic has been a blessing that has allowed us to make productive mistakes, although of course it's also been a hard time. We might make a book that goes with a performance. I don't know, we have a lot of ideas. I'm very curious to see where it will go. And the plan is to really, I think, try and make it specific to each context that it's going to be performed in, which will most likely start in Poland in 2022. So I think that's it. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure and a really interesting experience listening to other people's projects in the AI working group at Arias, and I'm very curious to see where they will all go. I hope 2021 will be full of many new discoveries and maybe a little kinder than 2020. Thanks again. Ciao. Bye.